if a heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And a Merry Christmas to you. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Today on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to be talking about something that many families struggle with this time of the year, and that is the holiday blues. You know, sometimes people become very discouraged during this time of year. Maybe something happened this year with sickness or the loss of a loved one or something to do with your job. Or, you know, things that happened when you were younger, and Christmas kind of brings back those memories. For a lot of people, it's a great time of year. It's a great celebration. But for some, they struggle. And so we're going to be talking today on the show about why we do that. Why sometimes during the holidays do we kind of go down a little bit? Could it be something to do with our expectations? When we wake up on Christmas morning and we don't get what we thought we were going to get. I know that was true when I was growing up. You know, you think Santa's going to bring me this and he's going to bring me that. I'm going to get a new Hot Wheel track and I'm going to get a new drum set or a whatever and a guitar and end up getting a tie, you know, and some new clothes. And that wasn't what I wanted, and I'm disappointed. Well, I know as adults it's not quite like that, but I wonder if the dynamic is still there in our lives or some disappointment in the past gets us. So we're going to be talking to two counselors today. Dan Stockman's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. He's going to talk about this phenomenon for adults and what to watch out for, what to do, how to deal with that. And then a little bit later on in the show, we're going to talk with Jason Becker, and he's going to talk about adolescent depression and struggles that our children go through, ages 11 through 18. And so if you're interested in that, you need to stick with us. Later on in the show, also, we're going to hear from Archbishop Hebda, who's going to give you his thoughts about Christmas growing up and a blessing for you. And you know what? He even tells us, he's going to tell us today, what he hopes for you this Christmas season. So that's going to be a great time talking with Archbishop Hebda. You know, I'm thinking about this time of year, and I've talked to so many people who said, I struggle this time of year. And you think, well, why should you struggle? This is a great time of year. And number one, it's the birthday of Jesus that we're celebrating, which is in itself a point of joy and a point of hope. But maybe we go into a bit of a funk at times because we go to the left or to the right of that birthday. We get off topic, and it really does become a time of the year of gift buying and, you know, food and relatives and trying to relax, yet we still have work hanging over our heads, and it just is overwhelming for us. And I've even heard some people say, I just want the holidays to pass and to get back to normal. Well, maybe we can do something about that today, huh? Maybe we can focus on Jesus and what this season is really about and put everything else in perspective. I oftentimes, at the holiday seasons, thinking about Thanksgiving and the greatest feast of all, this Christmas time, I think about the Garden of Eden and what happened clear back there with Adam and Eve. You know, in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, he said, you can eat freely of any tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can't eat from it, for in the day that you eat of it, you'll die. And you know the story. Eve in Genesis 3:6, she looks at the tree and she notices that it's beautiful, it's tasty, and it makes one wise. What's not to like about that? What is not to like about that? But she ends up eating the fruit, and then we fall into original sin. And you know that the storyline is not that our original parents ate fruit and we're going to go to hell as a result of it. That's not the storyline. That's not something you're going to tell your neighbor about your faith. You know, how do we get into this mess? Well, you know, great, 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 great grandparents ate some fruit. Well, that's not the storyline. The storyline is that Adam and Eve settled on the creation rather than the Creator. Instead of following God and following His will for their lives, they grasped at the good things of this world instead of the Creator. They settled on the creation instead of the Creator. And my friends, you know, Paul says it well. He said to the Corinthians, he said, I'm afraid that the enemy has tricked you and has brought you from a place of simplicity to complexity. And that's what happens in our lives, doesn't it? Where we start to settle for the created thing rather than the Creator, it will make your life complex. It really will. You'll end up with a whole house of stuff that you thought you needed, but now you're trying to unload at the goodwill. But if you do, trust me, if you don't get the relationship with the Lord right, you'll be back at the mall. You'll be back at that tree grasping for the creation rather than the Creator. So for Christmas, this time of the year for me, it's a time of recalibrating and saying, Lord, what's most important thing in my life? Is it you or is it what I want? And you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Christmas is a lovely time of the year. It's a beautiful time of the year. Gift giving is very meaningful, but everything in moderation. And we have to continually take all of the created order and bring it to Christ. That's really what this year is all about. If your hope is Christ for Christmas, the great gift, joy and peace and mercy and justice, you will not be disappointed. But if your heart is set on some invisible, some ethereal, something that you're yearning for and you don't even know what name to put it on, and it doesn't happen, you could be disappointed. So just a couple thoughts that I had this time of year. But you know what? We're going to bring the big guns in here in just a minute or so. We're going to talk with Dan Stockman. We're also going to talk with Jason Becker about this time of the year and what's going on in families, what's going on in individuals. Hey, by the way, if you're listening now, which is commonly called live in radio, the Tommies are playing tonight for the national championship. Our own Tommies. They're going to be out there playing at the Stag Bowl and playing against Mount Saint Union. I think that's the name. And they've won something like 800 or 900 championships. So this could be a real first for us. So pray for them. If you're listening on Saturday, you know the score. If you're listening on Sunday, you know the score too. But pray for our guys and that fantastic young running back who's making national news, Jordan. So we are going to now talk to one of our crack experts on this problem that some people face this time of year, which is the holiday blues. I'd like to welcome to the show a licensed professional counselor through the state of Minnesota, certified life coach through the Adler Institute. His graduate studies were at Franciscan University of Steubenville. He's a Catholic therapist and provides services here in the Twin Cities, Dan Stockman. How are you, Dan?
Great. Thanks for having me on the show, Jeff.
Oh, it's very good. Very good to talk to you. I didn't know you went to Franciscan University.
Yeah, I was there for 2 years, and prior to that I was at St. Thomas. So good to hear you put in a plug for the Tommies.
Well, I hope they do well tonight.
Yeah.
If not, you might have some counseling to do. But so how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and as you touch on the theme of the holiday blues and the stress that comes with this time of year, certainly a part of what we all go through, and looking forward to discussing this topic with you.
It is an unusual thing, isn't it? When you really look at the holidays, there's something, Dan, about all of us that even 3 or 4 or 5 months before Christmas, we're actually looking forward to it. You know, we actually look forward to going back home, making that 300-mile drive and meeting siblings and seeing that familiar tree in mom's the corner of the living room or the family room and the common candy and the food and all of that. But on the drive home, something happens to some people, and it's sort of a downer. What do you think is going on this time of the year, broadly speaking, with people as far as expectations and dashed hopes?
Well, I think one theme has to do with loss. Another one would be disappointment, as you touched on. So with loss, the emotions tend to be a bit more raw at this time of year, as some might be dealing with the loss of a loved one, parent, spouse, child, perhaps a relationship loss as well. And then also there comes, as you mentioned, that element of anticipation that people want to connect deeply with others and to experience the fullness of life, and with families, there are times where sometimes that doesn't happen in the way that people had hoped for, and with that comes some emotional fallout.
Mm-hmm. That, you bring up an interesting point when you say that there's a longing to connect deeply. The fact that it may not happen year after year, but the longing is still there, probably speaks to something deeper in us that we're really longing for, that perhaps can only be realized in our relationship with God.
Most definitely, in terms of that infinite need that we have, and how we tend to try to fill that with the finite, and with that we are presented that opportunity to realize what we're truly created for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you talk to people, what are some of the common, or any therapist, what are some of the common things that you hear when people come and talk about this season?
Well, I would say loss is one of the key ones, and to kind of illustrate what can sort of play out for, I guess, all of us in some ways, is that we tend to try to control what kind of emotions we experience. And there was a metaphor that conversationally came up with a client the other day, and I've titled it the Christmas Lights Tour. And so kind of with this, imagine that you lost a loved one, so I guess you get to participate here. And so kind of with that loved one, you had a family tradition that you would take a tour of all the Christmas lights in the cities. And, mm-hmm. and with it, that was a very special experience. And there was music and laughter and good cheer. And now, with the absence of that loved one, you're kind of apprehensive about whether you would do that. But it's also a tradition. So you're thinking, well, you know, maybe I should, you know, do this as well.
Dad would want us to, or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're kind of wrestling with that. And so kind of with this metaphor, there's two tours that you can take. And so, Jeff, you get to choose, and hopefully you choose the right one. Otherwise, the metaphor really doesn't work, so no pressure.
Bring it on.
Yeah, okay. Tour A is the no pain, no connection tour. And so with that, you get to enjoy the lights, but there's really no kind of connection that happens. And so whenever you feel a slight rise of emotional pain come up, you do your best to push it down. You play the music louder. You just try to distract yourself in whatever way possible. So you get to see the lights, right? But you uh-huh. don't get to that sense of connection.
Right.
Right. Tour B. This is the kind of uncertain levels of emotional pain, but connection tour.
Mm-hmm.
So here's where you get to see the lights, and you also get to experience that connection with that loved one.
Sure.
But you don't know how intense the emotion is going to be. You don't know how long it's going to show up for, but you get that experience.
Well, for me, after giving me those two choices...
Exactly.
I would probably be tempted to take the first one, but I would take a dive into the second one.
Okay. And why is that?
Because I don't want to hide, and I want to make that connection, and I want to come face to face with the fact that the loss of that loved one is real, and mm-hmm. it speaks of the value and the intimacy and the family that is there and continues.
Right. Yeah. So
did I do good?
You chose the right answer, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
I was a little nervous there, but
and this was not. We did not talk before the show.
Right.
This was just pure skill, right?
Not rigged. Exactly. You
okay.
have great insight.
All right.
So with that, the fulfillment of your heart. But with that, there's also the possibility of really experiencing some pain, and
uh-huh.
so kind of entering into these vulnerable environments with family. There are ways that we can try to play it safe and to kind of control what we experience. But with that, we don't get to experience kind of the fullness of what Christmas holds, if that's what's kind of organizing us.
So, let's say that a family, using your analogy, which is fantastic, let's say that this last year a family lost their father, and they're going to get together. It's going to be the same family room. It's going to be the same cast of characters. It's going to be the same food and the smells and everything else. But the only thing is that dad is not there.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that there is a temptation to control the emotions, the atmosphere, the scenario that's about to be played out. And how does that usually happen with siblings? Is usually one of them saying, no, we're going to take two or two and we're going to enter into this pain together? And then there's another sibling saying, no, let's do something different this year.
Yeah, I think you would get that possible kind of variance of approach. And with that, you know, potential tension in terms of how do they process that experience.
Well, what would be your suggestion on how to move through Christmas in that scenario where people leave and drive back to Wisconsin or Illinois, and perhaps this year's a little different?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is to bring acceptance into that experience. And this is my experience, that when I allow something to be present that is difficult for me, it changes it. Now, we don't want to get kind of swallowed in those emotions. There's a healthy sort of distance. But if we're too distant and removed from that, we miss that opportunity to experience something deeper. Mm-hmm. And it also keeps us from recognizing our need for Christ, because sort of within that pain is that opportunity to turn to Him.
So that's great. During the season, if somebody starts to feel different, what would be some of the signs that they could be entering into depression? And what's the difference between a seasonal depression versus this is very serious clinical?
Well, seasonal affective disorder, or sometimes kind of referred to as kind of the winter blues, is a form of depression that's seasonally based. And it does require sort of a recurring pattern in order for someone to be diagnosed with that. Mm-hmm. And that's distinguished from, like, just sort of sadness, which is more of a temporary kind of emotional state that tends to kind of come and go, whereas depression kind of takes hold of somebody and sort of impacts all aspects of their human experience.
Mm-hmm. When do you know that it's time to get some help?
Well, I think in the area of too much sort of disturbance to a person's functionality, and after a period of time, if it becomes, you know, 2-3 weeks that you're sort of wallowing in a deeper level of sadness, and it's also impacting other areas such as feelings of worth and energy, perhaps impact to sort of just day-to-day functioning. Those are signs that somebody needs to get some help.
One of the things, Dan, that I appreciate about what you do is you integrate the Catholic faith into counseling, into helping people. And I'm, you know, as a man of God, as a believer in Jesus, what is the role of their relationship with Christ when it comes to depression, anxiety, the things that people go through this time of the year? How does Jesus fit into all of that?
Well, part of it is the ability to kind of recognize the need for Christ within those particular places of pain. And not to take a one-dimensional approach that it's a spiritual issue, but that it often involves doing a number of things. And so Christ can come to us in a multitude of ways, whether it's through the help of a therapist, whether it's through medication, other means of Him sort of impacting that particular state the person is in.
You know, it's amazing to me as you look at the human being created in the image and likeness of God. We're very different than animals. You know, we're different than giraffes and mm-hmm. hippos and fish and mosquitoes and things like that. And that we're very, very complex. And as a result, we are capable of doing some amazing things in love and sacrifice and mercy mm-hmm. and justice. But on the other side of that coin, we are very complex and very fragile, aren't we? I mean, the smallest change in a chemical in our brain can literally send us spinning out of control. It really is fascinating how strong and yet how delicate we are.
It is true in terms of kind of the complexity of what it means to live and how things can sort of shift so quickly and that need to recalibrate, as you had mentioned that earlier.
Well, it speaks to me, and I'm sure in your life too and in your practice, the relationship with Christ is, and a strong relationship with Christ, has to be the center of our life, that mean, that base, that foundation that we have. And I know in the past, I've and people have come to me and said, I'm really struggling with the blues or whatever it might be, is I go immediately to, where are you at with the Lord in your life? And like you said, sometimes it's there's medication that can help people. And then sometimes there's actual behavior in someone's life that's bringing on this spiral in their life. And so it really is a kind of a holistic approach, isn't it? It's not just one thing.
I think it's important to consider it as a multi-dimensional problem with kind of multi-dimensional solutions to it.
Mm-hmm.
One practice that fits well in terms of our faith is the practice of gratitude, and how that has found its way into the scientific community, where studies have been conducted for those who are suffering with depression, and how that can have a significant impact to alleviating depression.
Well, you bring up, I wish we had more time to talk about that, but you bring up a really important point about gratitude, and you're right. The secular institutions are really focusing on this now. I know that Dr. Sood down at Mayo Clinic, who heads up alternative medicine, wrote a whole book on. In fact, I got to talk to him at one point when I was down at in Rochester, and I met with him in a meeting.
Oh, nice.
And he talked about the importance of gratitude to make one happy, or to lift your spirits, and also forgiveness, and these are right in our wheelhouse, aren't they, Dan?
Yeah, there's so much that obviously fits within our Catholic faith in those two areas.
Wow. Well, Dan, I thank you for sharing with us for a few minutes and giving us a few pointers here, and you have a great Christmas.
And to you as well.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Dan Stockman, licensed professional counselor here in the Twin Cities. Great guy. And if you're struggling with the holiday blues, take some advice there. And if it lasts for longer than, 2 or 3 weeks, and it's starting to really interfere with your life, reach out and get some help. Don't do it alone. But also check your relationship with the Lord. Where are you with your walk with God? Are there things happening in your life that maybe you should go to confession and seek the help of the Lord? Something to think about this time of the year. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking with Jason Becker. And Jason Becker is a marriage and family therapist, and he's going to talk about adolescents, 11 through 18, and some of the struggles that they go through with anxiety and depression. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rediscover.
For more than 150 years, the family of Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cemeteries have been the trusted choice of families by providing all of the services needed at the end of life. The local experts at Washburn McGreevy continue to show the compassion only a family-operated company can offer. Their 16 updated and remodeled facilities serve our area parishes and communities with a professional staff that will visit your home to assist with no obligation pre-planning funeral and cremation services. Washburn McGreevy can also assist with veterans or Social Security benefits related to the end of life. It makes sense to contact Washburn McGreevy soon to pre-plan or to become familiar with all of the help and experience a full-service funeral chapel and cemetery can provide at your time of need. No matter where you live in the Twin Cities, you will be connected to a caring professional near you by calling 612-377-2203. Washburn McGreevy continues to present the Daily Mass and Rosary on Relevant Radio.
Did you know that 134 undergraduate men are currently discerning a vocation to the priesthood at St. John Vianney College Seminary? Hello, this is Father Michael Becker, rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary, otherwise known as SJV. SJV is located on the beautiful campus of the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. We pursue our mission through the first-class academic resources of the university, a systematic formation in Christian character, and a traditional Catholic program of spiritual growth. With men representing 20 different dioceses, SJV is the largest college seminary in the United States. More than 430 of our alumni are serving as ordained priests today, building up the Catholic Church throughout the country and the world. We are Catholic and proud of it.
Visit Vianney.net. That's Vianney.net to learn more about St. John Vianney College Seminary and to see how these men are striving to be men in Christ, men of the church, and men for others.
welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, talking about the beautiful time of Christmas for most of us, but some of us, we walk away feeling a little bit down, and just got done talking with Dan Stockman about that, and we're going to talk about adolescent depression and anxiety this time of the year, not with the hopes of just dwelling on it, but really finding some solutions. Well, we're looking to Christmas here, and we always hear stories about young people who struggle this time of the year, and joining us to talk about that is a family therapist, marriage therapist, Jason Becker. Jason, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. It's great to be here today.
Well, it's good to talk to you. We just got done talking to Dan Stockman about adults, and I imagine there's some things that are common with our adolescents, and you meet with families. What do you hear? What's going on out there at this time of the year in families as it relates to adolescents?
Yeah, you know, it's not only this time of year, but it seems like all year round, it seems like the adolescent depression and anxiety is just a really common issue that we deal with, and yeah, there's just so many pressures, it seems like, nowadays on the teens' expectations, you know, with school, academics, and as the semesters are ending, a lot of added pressure there. You know, even just with the family life, I do a lot of work, you know, just with the whole family, because I see these young men and women are just feeling like they're not being often given a time to just slow down,
sure,
decompress, and just be... You know, just be, so.
Well, I know what you're saying. You know, I think back about when I was in high school, junior high and high school, a couple of years ago, and I remember back then, I never carried a schedule around with me. I didn't have a smartphone. I wasn't plugged in 24/7. When I went to bed at night, I went to bed at night, and
right.
I didn't even have access to a telephone or anything. Is the complexity of our lives with social media and the smartphones and the computers, is that adding to the stress on our young people today?
Yeah, I think it has to be. I mean, they again will be texting in the middle of the night. You know, and they just are not sleeping well. And then, you know, with all the different ways that they are, you know, being stimulated,
mm-hmm.
And they're just constantly, you know, having, you know, this friend to keep up with and this issue to deal with and this crisis. And so there's this constant overwhelming feeling that so many of them have. So they're just constantly being, in a sense, their brain is just constantly firing, you know, with this sense of, what do I got to do now? What crisis is coming now? And just they're not.
What am I missing out on?
Yeah, they're often not in a place where they can just remember that, boy, you know, it's so great to be able to just laugh and to be able to just kind of be and to enjoy people. So much of the conversations now are just around, like, you know, stressful things, and the culture around them often, you know, encourages that with the video games they're playing and the movies they're watching and the music they're listening to. It just really, there's a sense of, you know, darkness that often just permeates into them, and it's hard for them to see that, hey, there's something good and beautiful in life, and I can have something to look forward to. And the conversations often, even with mom and dad, are more about the stress of finances or their own, that they're seeing their mom and dad argue about whatever, and so they just kind of get this sense that they're not safe. You know,
sure.
They're not quite sure if anyone's there to support them, to listen to them, to understand, you know, where they're at in life.
Right. Do children manifest depression differently than adults?
You know, they can. You know, sometimes they will tend to exhibit more of like an irritability, you know, more of a sense of annoyance or just being kind of, you know, grouchy, kind of giving an attitude, where often an adult will kind of more manifest a traditional sadness or sullenness. And so sometimes, you know, it's hard for a parent to really realize that their teen is depressed, because they don't appear sad, they appear more angry, you
mm-hmm.
know, and they're kind of fighting back, and so they think it's more maybe a behavioral issue, or what, you know, why are they giving me this attitude, when if the parent can just kind of step back and listen more and pay attention that, you know, something deeper is going on here, and they are really, you know, in a sense, crying out.
What are the signs to look for as you go into your child's room, you're at the dinner table, you hear them talking to a friend? What would you look for as a parent to tip you off that something has changed, something's different here?
Yeah, you know, oftentimes I think if you just see a behavioral change, you know, if they were more outgoing, they were talking to friends, and now they're kind of not, you know, they're not interested, you know, so much and being with their friends. They're kind of isolating. They're kind of staying more up in their room. Or at one point, they're really interested in, you know, a sport or an activity. And now they're kind of drawing back from that. They're just kind of a sense that, you know, life isn't, there's nothing in their life they're really passionate or excited about, you know. And so they're just kind of drifting and searching. And I would see that often. You know, I've been doing marriage and family work just the last few years now, but I worked for, you know, 12 years in the Archdiocese doing youth and family work. And, you know, we'd see that all the time, that these young men and women are just searching. You know, they're just searching for something more. And, you know, God has placed that desire within them, and then they're just not, they're not seeing that reality around them. So it's kind of this disillusionment, you know.
And I would imagine that it's exacerbated a little bit during Christmas.
Sure. I mean, again, there's, Christmas time is a very stressful time often, unfortunately, because we do get focused more on running around and the gifts and the parties and being here and there and the pressures, especially within family life, you know, especially if there's, say there's a situation where there's a divorce in the family happening. This teen is feeling like, you know, this is, am I supposed to be sad? This is supposed to be a happy season. I don't even know how to be. Is it okay to be sad and happy at the same time? So there's a lot of these mixed emotions that they can have, and they're just trying to have somebody kind of help, kind of guide them.
Sure.
You know, they're just kind of trying to figure it out, but it's scary at the same time.
Well, it sounds like mom and dad could do something to, in a sense, calm the schedule down, calm life down during that break, and bring some normalcy and some comfort to their kids rather than being involved in the rat race.
Absolutely. You know, what's so important is if we as parents can really provide, you know, more structure instead of chaos. You know, teens actually do really well, just like younger children, you know, that when there's this sense of a little more predictability. We're going to have a family dinner together this night, you know, and then we're going to just do a family game. I mean, do people do that anymore? You know, it's one of those things I think just can speak volumes to that those teens that, hey, mom, dad are making time for me, for us. And they might, you know, on the outside act like, oh, this is cheesy or why are we doing this? But underneath that's important to them, and they feel valued and cared for. So just to have traditions that, especially this Advent season, where we are just slowing down a little bit, you know, and being intentional to come together.
Jason, we have about 2 minutes left,
yeah.
And I have one last question. What would you say to parents in how to deal with their adolescents if there has been a broken family this year, loss of a loved one, or a serious illness?
You know, I think it's so important to not ignore the feelings that this young, you know, woman or man is having. Oftentimes, you know, we don't listen well to them. So to validate that it's okay, whatever they're feeling, and that they shouldn't have to feel any different than they do. So it's not good to say something like, well, just be strong, you know, get over it.
Yeah.
That you know, puts pressure on the teen, you know, that they're supposed to be doing better than they actually are.
Right.
You know, so it's important to really just be present to them. You know, one just simple thing you can get in the habit of is asking, you know, each day, what's a high of the day and what's a low of the day? And it gives a parent a little bit of access.
I like that.
You know, to pay attention over time if there's a pattern of starting to see things they're sharing about. Because often it is, you know, it's teens don't often just freely open up and share what's going on. But if they're given that space and they really do trust that you care and want to listen, they long for that.
That's great. Well, Jason, thanks for joining us today and giving us a few tips on adolescence, the blues, and this time of the year, and blessings on your continued work as a marriage and family therapist.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Appreciate it. That's Jason Becker. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, guess what? We've got Archbishop Hebda joining us, and he's going to talk to you about Christmas growing up for himself, and he has a Christmas prayer and a Christmas wish for you and a blessing coming up. That's coming up in just a few seconds here, the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
On Pope Francis's trip back to the Vatican, they were asking him about his relationship with, Pope Emeritus Benedict. And he said, you know, and I love this term. He says, it's like having a grandfather at home for the wisdom He has wisdom with his nuances, and it does me well.
What the Pope is saying to us, you know, it's great to have the wisdom of the ages, a wise theologian, a wise bishop, a wise pope, to be there as a grandfather figure. Well, we need that in our own lives, and this, I think, we should cherish the elderly in our parish, cherish the elderly in our families, the elderly in our community, not just see them as a burden, but see them as a great powerhouse of prayer, prayer warriors, if you will, and see them as a source of great wisdom. And if we do that, I think we'll be a much healthier and holier society.
And I live by those words, 'cause Grandpa told me so.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Shows that inspire.
This is Relevant Radio.
Father Alex Carlson of St. John the Baptist Church in Excelsior with an Advent reflection on Relevant Radio.
A couple years ago, I asked each of my parishioners for a specific Christmas gift. The gift that I asked for them to go to confession during Advent. As the Advent season progressed, I was truly amazed at how many people came to confession. So much so that at our parish reconciliation service, we had a complaint that the line was too long. A good problem to have, I must say. Just like people shopping, many parishioners waited until the morning of December 24th to go to confession, but they were there. When Christmas arrived, looking out at all the parishioners, I could not help but smile, knowing that many of them had received God's amazing mercy. As we begin to celebrate the Year of Mercy, go to the beautiful sacrament of confession and receive God's infinite mercy.
To the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. We're blessed today to have with us Archbishop Hebda. He's the administrator for us right now in the Archdiocese, and he's here to talk a little bit about Christmas and what Christmas means to him, and also to give you a little bit of encouragement. Your Excellency, it's great to have you on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good to have you. You know, as we're at this time of the year, there's so many busy things happening. People are shopping and the malls are filled and people still have lists of things to buy and so forth. And I think sometimes we kind of lose sight of the real meaning of the year. And oftentimes in my own life, as I think about Christmas, I go back to my childhood and think about those experiences that really warmed my heart. Tell us a little bit about your growing up in the Catholic Church and your experiences. What warms your heart as you look back?
Yes, I was really blessed to have grown up in a great home, a great family, and Christmas was always hugely important, and especially Christmas Eve. And so we would try to keep a spiritual focus on Christmas Eve, and Christmas would be a little bit more boisterous, but Christmas Eve was always prayerful. And my father's family was from Poland, and my mom, who was Irish, did her best at helping us with a Polish Christmas Eve dinner. And there were foods that we really looked forward to, and especially the pierogi, that was an important part. But we always would have straw at the table. We would always be looking for the first star. And we would spend that time together just as family. And for me, that was very powerful. And I had always seen my parents running around before Christmas with so many things to do. But at least until we went to bed, they were always, it was time that they would spend with us on Christmas Eve. And we would always end with one of my parents reading the Nativity story and one of my parents reading The Night Before Christmas. And we looked forward to both of them, even after all of us in the family were old enough to read on our own. We still so much liked having our parents read to us on that occasion. I would say from fourth grade on, I was one of the big things about Christmas would always be serving Mass. I had grown up in a large parish, and so it was a big deal to be an altar server. And generally, we would line up in terms of height. There could easily be 50 or 60 boys. And it was not that I ever got that much taller, but I did grow in age. And so working myself up into different tasks at the Mass. But we would always look forward to that. And the seminarians from the parish would be coming home from seminary, and they would be the masters of ceremony. And it would be a great opportunity for us to get to know them and to really listen to them speak about seminary. And there'd always be an opportunity to share some hot chocolate or some cookies. We'd have a practice in the morning and then be there for midnight Mass, where the music would be just glorious. But I think it was in some of those contacts, even with the seminarians, that the Lord was really tugging at my heart to consider priesthood someday. So all of those things go into Christmas memories and helping me to really focus on the spiritual part of our celebration, and certainly the family dimension as well.
Sure, and I know for myself that there was something about going to the vigil, yes, Mass at midnight. You know, and back then, I think it was at midnight, actually.
Absolutely.
And there was something just mystical about it that we looked forward to, whereas as kids, we didn't necessarily look forward to Mass on a weekly basis as kids, but there was something about that Mass that was different than all other Masses.
Oh, absolutely. We would always have some strings. We would have a timpani, so the music was splendid. They would always have some young boy sing O Holy Night, and it would have been a great honor to have been asked to sing that. And we always remembered who were those young men that were asked to sing that.
Archbishop, you know, a lot of people wish they could sit down and visit with you for a half an hour and, you know, kind of pick your mind about different topics in life and troubles that they're going through. And no doubt, Christmas is difficult for some people because throughout the last year, maybe they lost a spouse or one of their parents, or they lost a job, or maybe illness set in the family, and it became very, very difficult. And people would love to sit down and talk to you about that. You know, if they could talk to anybody in the Archdiocese, I think they'd want to talk to you. What would you say to people at this time of the year that this has been a tough time in their family, and yet this is supposed to be such a festive time in the church calendar? What would you say to them?
I think we're festive in different ways. I would stress the element of hope even more than the element of joy, even though they're certainly connected. And I certainly remember in my own life that first Christmas after my mom had passed, and how hard that was. And yet it seems like that message of Christmas is one that's really intended to give us great hope. And even as at least in the northern hemisphere, when we're celebrating winter in the darkness that's there, that somehow or another this wonderful star comes, and it's not just the star but the light of Christ that breaks into our world, into the darkness, in the deep dark winter, and it's from that moment on that we get a little bit more light every day. We have that opportunity to Even in that aspect, to see how it is that it's Christ who brings light, and that the really that always the Lord wants us to have that great hope in our hearts, longing for a time when we're going to be with the Lord, with the saints, with those loved ones that we've lost. And all of that begins with God the Father's willingness to send His Son to be born in such a humble way, and to live with us and to die for us and to rise for us. And even though it can be sometimes hard when we're grieving to identify with some of the festivities, when we really think about what's happening, what it is that we're celebrating, I think there's something that resonates in each of our hearts that gives us that hope to go on and to recognize that we have a God who loves us so much that even in our grief, even in our despair, that the Lord's there reaching out to us with a hand, trying to pull us along in spite of all of the difficult things in our lives, and even the presence of sin in our lives, that God wants to change that.
That's beautiful. If you just joined us, we're talking with Archbishop Hebda about Christmas, and it is about to take place. Recently, you opened up a special door at the cathedral to really usher in the Year of Mercy here in the Twin Cities. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was a really powerful experience for me. Certainly, I was really inspired by the number of people who had come for that Mass, who were so eager to pour through that door, who were so hungry for God's mercy, and really to begin that year of mercy. Here at the Cathedral of St. Paul, the door of mercy is ringed with evergreen, so it reminds us of Christmas. And mm-hmm. there is such a strong connection between the Christmas event and the proclamation of mercy as well. Pope Francis has on many occasions described Jesus as mercy incarnate, that if we wanted to put flesh onto mercy, it's Jesus.
Mm, beautiful.
And so as we really think about that child born to Mary, and we think about the Christmas story, and we think about a God who would love us so much that he'd be willing to allow his son to be born powerless, a child who needed to rely on Mary and on Joseph for everything. Mm-hmm. How much God must love us. And certainly to see that in as a real statement of mercy, because we know from all of salvation history how in spite of so many efforts on the part of God the Father to shepherd his people, we always seem to go the wrong way. And yet God never gives up on us. And Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is really the ultimate statement of God's mercy, that he would be willing to express his tender love for us in that way. It certainly gives me encouragement, certainly gives me hope, and it really also inspires me then to want to tell others about God's mercy in my own life, and then also to reflect on what that means in the way that I go about living my life as well. And Pope Francis has been so clear in speaking about how this year of mercy is, first of all, an opportunity for us to know God's mercy, but then the second part of that is how important it is that we go to be real instruments of God's mercy in the lives of others as we go about those corporal works of mercy and spiritual works of mercy. So certainly as I went through the doors here at the cathedral, I was certainly asking the Lord to give me the graces that he wants so that I might be open to the many promptings of the Holy Spirit in the course of this year, that I might be more aware of God's mercy, and that I might be more willing to be that instrument of God's mercy in the lives of others, knowing how important those instruments have been in my own life, those many people who brought mercy.
What you're saying reminds me of that truth that I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God wants to extend his mercy towards you. And I remember the story of a priest telling the story of somebody coming into confession, or actually there's a man going into confession. He went into confession. He said, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. He said, hey, Lord, please just give me one more chance. Give me one more chance. And the priest said, the Lord is saying to you, give me one more chance.
Beautiful.
Give me one more chance. And that's kind of what Christmas is.
Absolutely.
Give me a chance to do something in your life in this year of mercy. Archbishop, if you prayed for the good people of the Archdiocese and said, boy, here's my prayer for you at Christmas, what would it be?
I think it would be that we might all come to really see that Christ child as an expression of God's mercy, that we might recognize Christmas not as just a historical event, but as a real statement of God's love for us, of God's presence in our lives. I really come to see Jesus as Emmanuel, that God is with us and in the present. And knowing that love, that's bound to have an impact on all of our lives. And I think that will help us to really shape this archdiocese and our priorities in the coming year as well.
That's great. And could you give us a blessing?
Yes. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you. May you know the Lord's love and his peace at Christmas and throughout the new year. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. We've been talking with Archbishop Hebda this Christmas season here, this Christmas time, and you're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back right after this.
Chan Hassen Dinner Theater's gift cards make perfect holiday gifts for everyone on your list. A spouse, couple, friend, great neighbor, favorite teacher, or coach, even to an entire family. Because giving a Chan Hassen experience isn't like giving a sweater, toy, or gadget that might never be used. Instead, it's a fun night out that's the complete package. Delicious dinner and a fabulous show. Chan Hassen Dinner Theater's gift cards can be used for Chan Hassen's many entertainment choices. Stevie Ray's Comedy Cabaret, any of Chan Hassen's featured holiday hits or popular tribute concerts, and of course, the incredible main stage musicals, including Sister Act, the Divine Musical Comedy, or Disney's Beauty and the Beast. There's something for everyone at any age. Chan Hassen Dinner Theater's gift cards are good forever. Always the right size and color, and easy, too. Order from the convenience of home by phone or online at chanhassendt.com. So this year, give the gift of entertainment. Chan Hassen Dinner Theater's, committed to entertaining you.
I remember when I was in grammar school.
Bishop of Albany, New York, Edward Scharfenberger.
The sisters told us, you know, Jesus would have died for you if you were the only person in the world. That's the truth of our faith, that Jesus loves each and every one of us personally, no matter what we've done or haven't done. Jesus can break right through that. He wants us to hear that message. I love you. So asking for God's mercy is the first step, because we can't give it unless we've received it.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Welcome back. I'm Jeff Cavins, and joining us on the Rediscover Hour is my good friend, Paul Sonic. And Paul, there's a big, big events calendar, or as they say over in Britain, my diary is quite full.
Oh, yes, indeed it is. Before midnight mass, Thursday, December 24th, the Twin Cities Catholic Chorale and Orchestra will provide Christmas music at St. Agnes at 11:15 p.m. Midnight Latin High Mass begins at midnight with the Chorale Orchestra and St. Agnes Schola. For more information, visit stagnes.net.
Perfect. The Cathedral of St. Paul invites you to start the 2016 year off right at their first Saturday morning of recollection on Saturday, January 2nd, featuring two conferences by Catholic author and speaker Elizabeth Kelly. Her two presentations will be Be It Done Unto Me, What Mary and the Annunciation Teaches Us About a Receptive Heart, and A Happy Quiet New Year, Why the Soul Needs Silence. The mini-retreat begins with Mass at 8 a.m. You'll have Eucharistic adoration, silent prayer, confession, and benediction. For more information, for the details, go to cathedralstpaul.org or call 651-228-1766.
Do you know someone who was raised Catholic but now feels separated from the Church and seldom goes to Mass? Help bring them back home to the Catholic Church, no matter how long they've been away, no matter the reason. We invite them to consider renewing their relationship with the Church. St. Bartholomew in Wayzata offers a six-week series entitled Catholics Returning Home. It begins Tuesday, January 5th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the lower level of the church. For more information, call Andrew Allen, 952-473-6601.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the next Theology on Tap series presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith. The series will be held on Wednesday evening from January 6th to February 3rd at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Social hours from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. and the speaker begins at 7:30. Topics focus on faith and contemporary issues that directly affect the lives of young adults. All evenings are free of charge. The series kicks off with Bishop Cousins. on Wednesday, January 6th. For more information, go to www.cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
Maternity of Mary Pro-Life Committee in St. Paul invites you to their 14th annual Pro-Life presentation and Italian dinner. Guest presenter will be Bishop Andrew Cousins. Evening begins Saturday, January 23rd, following the 4:30 p.m. Mass. Proceeds of the event will go toward parish and community pro-life causes. Deadline for reservations is January 18th. Cost is $15 for ages 13 to adults. Contact the parish office for details, 651-489-8825. And what is up next week, Jeff?
Coming up next week on the show, you can join us for a musical Christmas show. And we're going to be joined by co-host Jacob Benda, the director of music at St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park. The hour will be filled with Christmas music from local Catholic musicians, including recent Rediscover Hour guest Ali Aliyah, along with Luke Spihar and Anna Nuzzo. So we're looking forward to that. Going to celebrate Christmas with some uplifting music and commentary. You won't want to miss that. It'll be a great time to celebrate the year. Hey, go out there and be a light to the world, will you? The gift was given to us. Now let's give it to somebody else. We'll see you next time on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org. and at relevantradio.com, keyword Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.